I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Who are you wearing? Not what are you wearing, who are you wearing? That is a common question for stars, right? I get that all the time. Who are you wearing? And a couple Sundays back, we saw that God is called the Father of Lights because we, you and I, are called His shining stars. Because those who lead many to righteousness shine like the stars. For they, those needing the leading, being ignorant, not stupid, just unaware, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and, you know, therefore seeking to establish their own righteousness, trying to figure things out, have not obviously submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law. Were you trying to earn your own righteousness? He's the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. And so, hopefully you can say what I can say, what Job said, I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. For God, through Christ, has clothed me with the garments of salvation, i.e., He has covered me, covered my sin. He's covered me with the robe of righteousness. It's said in so many ways, but we need to be wearing Jesus. Obviously, when stars, like yourselves, are asked who they're wearing, who are you wearing? It isn't literal, that's obvious. What does it mean? It means whose inspiration and work are you showcasing with your clothing? Because if you've watched any amount of TV, you know it's a pretty big deal, right? Or magazines, it's a big deal when stars cover themselves with a chosen designer's creation, right? Because they become a walking display of that person's work to this world. So then, why not us? Let us, shining stars of righteousness, cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. I like that phrase. Put on the armor of light. In other words, since Jesus is the light of the world, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Who are you wearing? I'm wearing Jesus. Display His work. And make sure you make no provision for, you know, the sins of the flesh, for the flesh, okay? Because a believer who leads a double life is an imposter, right? Pretending, usually mostly to themselves, to be something that they're not, which requires behaving differently depending on the setting or the situation, which we all do. Come on now, right? We all do that to some degree, but as a rule, dearly loved children sincerely imitate their parents. So we're working our way out. So that's the big question. Do you wear Jesus wherever you go? Because if you lead a double life, you will lead no one to the light. In fact, to authentically put on Christ is to consistently clothe yourselves with, and just read them with me, compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience and to forgive, okay? To forgive. And not just forgive, but forgive as the Lord forgave you. That's what it means to put on Christ. And we would all love to see everyone wearing all that, right? Put on, or where am I at? Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, to put on love, because God is love. So wear God, wear love, put it on. So I'm just curious, any J.P. Patches pals here this morning? Raise your hand. J.P. Patches pals, grew up with him. How many of you know who he is? Okay. How many of you seen the show back in the day? Okay. How many of those hands aren't over the age 60? JP was a childhood role model for me and many people. I got his autographed photo here. I saved that baby. I got his autographed photo at a father-son banquet at the Elks Club back in the 60s. And in the 70s, I got to go on his show twice. Twice. Yeah, there's me. Second from the right. Oh, you can hold the applause. I got to go on his show twice, and I got to help him save Tyke Turkey from Boris S. Wart. Now, I was in love with J.P. Patches. J.P. had several qualities that kind of reflect J.C. qualities. He was kind and caring and gentle and patient and compassionate and tireless in his fundraising efforts for the Seattle Children's Hospital. That was his thing, raising money for Children's Hospital. And no scandals. Just, I mean, that's rare. But a genuinely nice person. And in the 80s, he got to come to the Ark. And it was surreal when he came on my show. Especially, and I ain't lying, especially when Gertrude tearfully, genuinely, tearfully, sincerely thanked us for shaping children's lives in a godly way. It was just such a special moment. And you might remember, but when JP passed away in 2012, I felt compelled to make costumes for Char and myself for Arktoberfest. I don't remember that. And I will confess, I went a bit nuts with the accuracy of the details, even according to my own standards. Oh, I could tell you a story. Oh, then Jess knows. Remember, okay, quick story, off script. The crown. I'm looking through all these photos and I see the remains of a handle on Gertrude's crown, and I'm able to identify it by the remains of the handle as a Miro, big old Miro saucepan from the 1940s. So I get one off eBay and I take it to Jess, the metal worker, and I say, we're turning this into Gertrude's crown. I line up all the pictures and he's cutting and I'm going, okay, that one bends a half inch that way, then go up 3/4 of an inch and it turns this way. And our crown is a counterfeit. It is just absolutely perfect. Okay, so I went a little nutso on the details. But that is because I was honoring him by portraying him as sincerely and correctly as I could. It took a lot of effort to put on J.P. Patches, but it wasn't a chore. It was a joy and a delight, and that is because it was a labor of love. A labor of love to put on the character of the man who holds a significant place in my childhood memories. And when I was a child, I talked like a child, and I thought like a child, and I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put childish, not childlike, but I put childish ways behind me, and I embraced Christ. But I couldn't help but think, do you remember what Jesus asked his Patches pals? Because he had his own Patches pals. He said, who would patch old clothing with new cloth, you know, unshrunk cloth, brand new cloth. He's the new cloth, by the way. For the new patch would shrink and tear away from the old worn out cloth, leaving an even bigger tear than before. And what do we get out of this little patching analogy? Very simple. Jesus did not go to the cross just to provide a patch. Okay? And let alone a patch for a worn out way of living a comfortable double life. Mm-mm. He died and rose to replace it with his armor of light. He came to comfort the afflicted by calling sinners to repentance, which is why salvation is a call to action, a call That's all or nothing. Because old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Therefore, you and I, well, we are ambassadors for Christ because he said, I now send you to turn them from darkness to light. And ambassadors are simply messengers who make their home in a foreign land, like down here, without ever compromising allegiance to their homeland, like up there. And an ambassador's purpose is to faithfully represent their true ruler from their homeland. So here's a big question. Do you try to patch Jesus onto your life or to fit your life into Christ? Because the first way there, trying to patch Jesus onto your life, oh, that first way, patches, pals, will pull you in two directions until it tears you apart. It just doesn't work. It can't work. For all of you were baptized, who were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ, okay? And it is just not possible to weave an old, sinful, or self-centered lifestyle into that fabric. Mostly because it's armor and it's light. So put on the new self. Put on the new self. It's a process, and he understands that. But be putting it on. Put on the new self, created to be like God. Loved your analogy. Noah's analogy here, was it last week or the week before? It doesn't matter. Yep. I love your analogy about how improv actors will transform into a character that the audience shouts out, you know, and so who should I be in? And then you told us, he said, okay, picture us, ourselves, shopping for fruit or buying shoes or calling tech support, okay? And we get done, and then someone yells, now do it like Jesus. And he says, and you would go back and you would do it differently. And he says, and every one of us knows how we would do it because we know what that would look like. Because that is what the real you, functioning 100% in your created purpose and capacity, looks like. You acting like a Christ-like you. That was it. Created purpose. You're looking for your created purpose. There it is. You acting like a Christ-like you. You know, standard routine for imitators is to ask something like, what if Robert De Niro worked in a complaint department? Turn to somebody, do your best or worst Robert De Niro and say, you talking to me? Do it. Do it. Okay. That's Robert De Niro in a complaint department. You talking to me? Well, okay. Well, picture this. I got a good one. This is a really good one. Picture this. What if Jesus was you? Turn to someone and say, he talking to me? Do it. And then answer him. Yes, he is. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to myself. Therefore, beloved, listen up. Do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. In other words, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations. There's some good things you could learn to imitate. Don't imitate the detestable ways. Imitate those who, through faith and patience, inherit the promises. Imitate them. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Therefore, this is why Paul said, I urge you, imitate me. Here, if that's too hard thing, I don't want to imitate God. Just look at me. Imitate me, Paul says. Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. But even Jesus, the ultimate image of God, said, you see, the Son does only what he sees the Father doing, right? Because the Son does whatever the Father does. And therefore, he said, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. And you can accept this truth or not, but you were created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. But hold the phone. And if Gertrude were here, she would say what? One moment, please. Hold the phone, because the oldest temptation in the book, literally, is when the serpent says, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So, were we created to be or not to be like God? That is the question. And the answer is yes, to be and not to be. Notice Paul's qualification in true righteousness and holiness. In a nutshell, Paul tells us to take on God's nature by embracing his authority. Whereas that crafty old enemy tries to tempt us to take on God's authority by defying his nature, which is called impersonating, using someone else's identity and authority to create a false credibility. It is also known as identity theft. So understand, whenever you and I try to control anyone or anything in any way that is unbecoming to our Father, we are falling for the oldest trick in the book, playing God rather than portraying God. We are not called to be God. We're called to be godly, little godlies. Because there's a big old difference between knowing good and evil and using that knowledge to put on righteousness and holiness. So let's sum it all up using scripture. It's simple. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. There you go. Be imitators of God as dearly loved children, and you know, joyfully live a single, consistent life of love. Just as Christ loved us, gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So you dearly loved children are to be dearly loved children are to be a fragrant offering. And in my experience, children offer two basic fragrances. Oh my. Right? I mean, nothing is more pleasing than a freshly washed and powdered baby. And nothing is more disgustingly pungent than the reason they needed to be washed. Now, thanks be to God who through us, whether we deserve it or not, and we know we don't, who through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge. It's like powder. It's clean, for we are to God this fragrance of Christ. And why is that? Well, here's why. Because we are not, as so many, just peddling the word of God. No. But for us, as of sincerity, but as from God, as ambassadors. Because he is like a father to us, tender and sympathetic to those who reverence him, for he knows we are but dust. And that's one way to put it, but I still prefer saying baby powder. But you can say, oh yeah, let it sink in. But either way, regarding your former way of life, someone just got it. But dust, I get it. Regarding your former way of life, you were taught to strip off your old man and to clothe yourselves with the new man. Because the old you has the fragrance of an old diaper, okay? But the reborn you who reflects Jesus is as pleasing as baby powder to everyone around you. And don't forget, Christianity's greatest confirmation is the new you that it produces. That's where the power is seen, as you put on Christ and you change, right? We were created to bear God's image by maturing in his character, and not out of guilt or pressure or the threat of punishment that ruins it, but joyfully, like me and JP. You know, when I was a child, I indeed talked like a child. Would you like confirmation? Because I'll tell you, long before there was a way to record video, we had what's called cassette tapes. And my mom recorded the audio of the show that day. So here's just a little, it's less than a minute, but here's a very poor quality 50-year-old cassette tape recording of a 12-year-old me and my best friend Steve, that's us on the right, marching in to the J.P. Patches show in 1974 to announce the upcoming bicentennial, which I remember thinking was so far away, 1976. Oh, and to save Tyke Turkey. Take a listen.
Very good. Well, that's terrific. Boy, am I ever glad you're here. First of all, let's find out who everyone is. We'll start over there with that drummer. What is your name?
Steve Stafford.
Hi, Steve. And who's our next drummer?
I'm Bruce Wilson.
Okay, you guys are, you're helping celebrate the bicentennial, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that will be in the year, what year is that? 1976. That'll be 200 years, right? And where did you get your uniforms?
Bruce's grandmother made them.
Okay, well, they look real nice. Are they authentic colonial type uniforms?
No.
Hey, listen, I need your help. Boris S. Ward has stolen Tyke Turkey for Thanksgiving dinner, and we are going to rescue Tyke Turkey.
Okay, is it just me or was my voice lower then? That was Colin's joke. Oh, and it was a good one too. I think it might have been. I remember, anybody remember Rich Little?
Yeah, okay.
He would imitate the stars. I can still recall, and you said that, and what came to mind was when Rich Little pointed out that Walter Brennan's voice got higher as he got older, and then he started to imitate him through the years, and I'm Walter Brennan. Okay. Now, I share all of this because I realize I have what I think is an incredibly unique insight into what it means. This just dawned on me like a week and a half ago that I've never told you any of this, but I have what I just realized is an insight into what it means to really put on Christ. Because 1 year after JP passed away, on the anniversary of his death, I put on JP Patches and I clothed myself in his character. And I walked around the streets of downtown Seattle imitating his manner. And I handed out cards to raise funds in his name for the children's hospital. Now, why? I haven't told you because it was just a private thing. I just had to go out and do what he did because I just loved who he was. And I didn't want people to see me. I wanted them to see JP because of me. And it just hit me. It's the exact same approach that we should use when we clothe ourselves with JC. So here's the question. Who are you honoring by the way you are living? I mean, picture yourself putting on Jesus going, okay, this is going to be good. It's going to take a lot of work, but it's a labor of love. And now let's go out and let's just approach these people like Jesus would. Hopefully you've put childish ways behind, and it's firstly and foremostly Jesus who you live to honor. We've been picturing, right? We've been picturing our planet sailing through the darkness down here like a big old ship, God's workmanship. And as ambassadors of Christ, the moment our feet hit the floor, we're on deck. Because it's not merely about putting on, but taking on. Taking on the nature and character of the captain of our salvation. By taking up his mantle. And I'll tell you, long before I ever preached this idea of walking the deck down here as the captain, I practiced it. This was just something I did. It came to me, and I thought, that's it. I'm going to tell myself I'm on deck. And everywhere I'd go into a store, I'd be like, this is the deck, and I'm the captain. And I did it to help me act like the real me that I wanted to be. And it really worked. It really helped. And early on, I was at a grocery store pharmacy, big grocery store pharmacy, and I was standing behind watching a young mom holding a sick, crying baby while being absolutely berated by a stressed-out cashier and an angry pharmacist over a prescription mix-up that could have really hurt that kid. But they were taking it out on the mom, and she was the only one not at fault. But this mom kept her calm. And when she was done, she even thanked them. And they just kind of grunted, ugh. I just stood there. Oh, my goodness. I know you're both upset, but my goodness. And so then I finished my shopping, and I was walking out to my car, leaving. And I just couldn't get it out of my head. All that kept going through my mind, who's the captain? It's like, oh, my. And I remember having this argument in my head. It's like, what am I supposed to do? Who's the captain? She's long gone. That was like 10 minutes ago. Who's the captain? It's a big store. But I went back. Just, okay, I'll at least just walk and see that she's not there anymore. Oh, and she was. Found her shopping, her baby now sleeping, and so I acted like I was looking at something on the shelf and just, now what? And you know what the voice said? Who's the captain? So I just made myself walk up to her, and this is what came out. I said, excuse me, I saw what happened, and I guess I just wanted to say that I'm proud of you. And she just burst into tears, sobbing. It's like I just set the fuse on her. She's just sobbing, saying something about her sick baby and her failure as a mom. And now I'm standing there bawling, and I'm crying, and I'm saying, I have no idea what I said, but I know it was something about God. I know it was about God's strength and about, I'd be praying. It didn't feel right to pray right then, but I'd be praying for her, and she thanked me, and I left. And all the way to my car, I kept thinking, who's the captain? I'm the captain. Who's the captain? This guy, I'm the captain, and I genuinely care for my passengers, and I encourage my crew in honor of my Creator and Savior. And I got in the car, and I shut that door, and I said, I'm the captain. I'm the captain. And so I have one question to end this on. Who will you be wearing, Captain? Because I'll tell you right now, that was infinitely, oh, now you know the story was that way, because that was infinitely more fulfilling than saving Tyke Turkey. So let's pray. Father God, oh, we love you and worship you by striving to be like you. Holy Spirit, help us to become a walking display of your work to this world. And Lord Jesus, we just praise you as the perfect image of intimacy, obedience, and compassion. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.